Hello there, folks. So I thought I'd just fire up the microphone as we come to the end of January and have a bit of a recap, see what emerging trends are there. Just a few notes off the top of my head, really, which I like to do from time to time instead of having sort of big scripted video effort post kind of videos. And because we've come to the end of January, which was quite a turbulent year, though it was a turbulent month. But it was turbulent, really, only in the American scene, which is interesting because it's very difficult to find something interesting to talk about in back here in Britain because we're pretty much a land without politics at the moment. I mean, if you know you've got all of these things going on, but I think the country's on a psychological and political lockdown is the way it is, and an actual physical lockdown because. Just to take the one thing that is going on, for example, is that the government's pretty much going to import Hong Kong to the UK. I hate the word UK, to Britain. And we've never been asked about it. There's nothing we can do about it. We're just going to have to grin and bear it. And this is happening from the Tories, from right wing. The right wing side of British politics is going to import an entire city of 2.3 to 5 million people will be able to come, and whether or not they're going to create a charter city for them or if they're just going to bring them into the country, we don't know, but it doesn't matter. We can't do anything about it. We're not going to get asked. And so Britain, in a way, is a land without politics. There isn't really a political struggle. You can try and register a new party to oppose all of this, but they won't allow it. They won't allow your party to become official. You can set up websites and whatnot, and you'll just end up being fined and going to jail. You know, the BitChute, the Ofcom are going to start and cripple BitChute. So what this does is, as I say, put Britain in a psychological lockdown as well as a physical one, where the only thing you're allowed to discuss is the Guardian's take on things or the Telegraph's take on things, which is just completely asinine and soul-destroyingly boring. Just bland, vanilla rubbish, which doesn't really affect anybody's lives. It's just crap. But where a lot is going on still is in the American situation. And so we were now a month on since the end of Trump, let's say, on the siege of the Capitol on the 6th. So in America, it's kind of sad that the only thing we've got to talk about is the American scene, you know, compared to the British scene. But we'll see how things go with Hong Kong. But the thing is, in the American situation, that tension is still there. But as I noted on a video a while back, two videos ago, I think, you can see that in America, the political struggle, the right, the MAGA, Trump's base is now completely out of power and they're being purged. So the political struggle is kind of heading into the same situation as what it is in Britain, except in America. And I think wider, we're seeing the emergence of something else, where instead of confronting the system with these kind of talking points, these populist talking points, which have now been completely rejected and thrown out, what we're seeing instead, at least this month, whether this is a trend which is going to last, I've got a feeling it might. But what we see, if it's the the storming of the Capitol, or if it's the recent thing which was a bit of a howl, the attack on the hedge funds in Wall Street and GameSpot, and basically leaving these hedge funds on Wall Street holding billions of dollars and screwing them over, which was all great stuff. It's kind of anarchic and unstructured, and it's instead of it having these specific talking points, let's say immigration or whatever, the normal populist fare, instead they've given that's in a large part of the population has been kind of destroyed. You know, we realize now we're never going to get our way. This is what's coming in America. It's already here in Britain. But what that seems to be emerging instead is this idea where you just take pot shots at the system, at the centre of power itself, whether it's the media or the political class, or which is quite novel, actually. The economics, the Wall Street, the international global finance. So if you can find a way to kind of undermine it and kind of fuck it over in some way, yeah, why not do it? And also what you'll see is that they're doing it for fun as well. In the same way that it's got this postmodern element to it, in the same way that storming the Capitol was done primarily for entertainment value. I mean, there was people there with serious issues, and as you see some of the posts which have come out of Reddit, that there's people with genuine frustrations and they want revenge on Wall Street, on these hedge funds and on capital. So that there is that, the whole day, like revenge since 2008 and whatnot. But then you've got all of the masses of people just cheering it on and finding it all hilarious that the sort of the elites can take this, can get owned in this way, and so it becomes this form of entertainment for everybody. And the funny thing, I mean, what I've really enjoyed about watching this, as you know, as entertainment, as just this big carnival of destruction, what I've enjoyed about it has been the complete impotence of like the activist left in America, where they kind of had to run out the door still pulling their pants up because it was the populists that were taking on the money power, which, like, that's theirs. That's their issue. That's what they should have done. And in actual fact, they didn't seem to have a clue. I mean, that chubby fella with a beard, Vouch or whatever, he's like the biggest like socialist YouTuber around, and he was asking people on Twitter to explain to him like what was going on. Now, wouldn't you think that somebody as invested in left-wing ideology would like have some semblance of a clue about how stocks and shares worked? Like, that is the capitalist system. In actual fact, they didn't have the faintest idea, because when you go back to 2012 or something, when you go back to Occupy Wall Street in 2011, you'll see that this was a left-wing movement against the financial elites. And what happened was that they kind of got cooked, because they got flooded with diversity. But then you can also notice in the newspapers, in the media, the amount of words like white privilege and diversity and racism and structural racism and all of these like social justice terms, it's absolutely skyrocketed after 2011. And so what had happened is that you can see the sort of the financial wing, the Wall Street wing, didn't like people outside. They don't like people looking too deeply into their affairs. And it certainly appears, not to be too conspiratorial, but you can't help but notice on these graphs that they seem to have got in touch with their, friends, maybe even family members, somebody closely related over at the media, and said, look, you're going to have to do something about this. You're going to have to get these people off our backs. They're meddling around in our business here, and we don't like it. Get them off Wall Street. Get rid of them. Do something. I'll tell you what, and get Occupied Wall Street occupied with something else. And that something else was the sort of the woke SJW stuff that we all know and love. It emerged primarily as a way to replace the socialist, anti-financial views of the left, and instead, like, gave them a kind of fox to hunt. So if you look at the British elites, when they go out and they do fox hunting, and you can see the elites, and then you've got the dogs that go do the hunt, and then you've got the fox itself. So all of a sudden, like, white people became the fox, and the elites had set the dogs after it to keep the dogs occupied, so that they could kind of prance around on their horses. It was something like that. So in a way, they're now, you have these like left-wing activists who've come in since that time, and they don't actually know anything else. Like, it's as if they've forgotten that the left is supposed to be like anti-capitalist, and this is why they've twist themselves into pretzels to say that they're anti-establishment, when of course all of these massive globalist institutions agree with them on absolutely everything. And I don't really see, I mean, a couple of people, a couple of the prominent left-wingers on Twitter and stuff, they were actually confronted with this. And it was like, well, if are you then going to support bringing down this kind of attack on the hedge funds and on Wall Street and on the stocks and all of this? Are you then going to go along with it? Because, you know, you are like, you've got socialist in your bio on Twitter or whatever. And someone said, no, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I'm not going to team up with these racists, these fascists to, I'd prefer the hedge fund managers. I prefer Goldman Sachs and Melvin Capital to like what were in the end more of a kind of populist, probably a little bit politically incorrect. And so, no, we're going to side with the capitalists. And it's because they forgot. They were handed a completely new ideological framework by global finance via the media and then through academia. And they forgot their roots and they became just these kind of pawns. You know, if you see these sharks with those little feeder fish on them, or that little gremlin thing that sits in front of Jabba the Hutt, like, that's actually what the left have become. And it's hilarious to see them twist themselves in pretzels as to how they're going to, like, process what's become a populist backlash against the financial elites. And instead, they've become, like, the Praetorian Guard of Wall Street. It's just shambolic movement at this point. So what we end up with is millions of people with the populist movement, which is now without a leader and without even having that much of an ideology, and it exists to just kind of attack the system in any way that it can, without even having an ideological framework to replace it with, just for the lols, just for the entertainment factor. And I think this could be the emerging trend going forward. And it's an interesting one because, as I said, the left, this is supposed to be like the territory that the left would occupy. But it seems to me that without having any kind of leader, without having even a coherent movement anymore, what you're going to have is a populist mass without even any clear vision of what they want to do, just kind of taking potshots at the system for the entertainment value. So what we could see is this kind of anarcho-populism where it's just purely against the centres of power, and the left have been caught out because they are in the halls of the power system, the structure. In the past, it would be this sort of anarchy and just against the elites, against the power structure. That would be a left-wing territory, and they ceded it. So now it's going to be occupied by other people, and I think that's actually quite an interesting dynamic. But what's going to what you see as well is that it's all just like for entertainment value. And this, to me, says of a civilization which is just profoundly bored. So bored that you can storm the Capitol, but it'll just become another form of like live stream with super chats for you to like, just for a big laugh. And then you go on and you do it with the stock exchange, attack the hedge fund managers, leave the financial elite, sink them, torpedo them, because you don't like them, but also because it's funny. It's just this nihilistic tendency towards just destroying the system because it's, on the one hand, it's evil, but on the other hand, because it's fun and because you can trigger the bankers. And all along, the left haven't really... They're trying to co-opt it to some degree, but they can't, because the people who are at the heart of all of this are politically incorrect. So it rubs up the wrong way against the post sort of 2012 narratives which have been handed to the left. And I think subconsciously what this amounts to is the remnants of the populist movement saying, okay, we were beaten on all fronts, and we can't turn the clock back. We can't undo what the damage that you've done to us, maybe with demographics or something. We can't actually get all of these politically correct ideas out of the universities. We can't win politically either. You're going to censor us on the internet. Okay, well, we can't go back to the 1950s and have these sort of calm, traditional lives that we fought for and lost. But at the same time, we're going to make sure that you can't enjoy your kind of technocratic utopia as well. And we're going to attack it and undermine it. And no, there's nothing to replace it with, but we don't care. And this could be the trend going forward. So we'll see. Thanks for listening, folks. I'll catch you. Bye.